Right.
Well, my father was here probably around 1940. He was born in 1920. I don't know exact years, but he, you know, got into radio, and then this was his first real job as an engineer here. And he either became a chief engineer here, or I might be getting my stories mixed up at WDWS. Is that a Champaign-Urbana yes. station? Yeah. So that he worked at both the stations, but this was his the first, and had a lot of stories to tell that I think took place right in this room here. So
making the air sound as best as it could, that was what he did best, I believe, right?
Well, yeah, he definitely got into audio recording. It all started with radio. So it started with an interest in radio. In fact, he tried to, when he was a teenager, when automobile radios first started happening, he actually started installing those in cars, and then he became a ham radio operator probably when he was about 13, and just had a lifelong fascination with radio. In fact, he was working on antennas and radio by the day he died, I mean, just right up to it. But so it started here. This was his first job in radio, and he ended up getting drafted into the Army. I don't know exactly the year, but ended up in the Signal Corps and did a lot of interesting things there. But one of the things he did is tape delayed a lot of the Armed Forces radio. So he got into recording, and there were a lot of great musicians in the Army and the Armed Forces at that time. So he was doing a lot of recording of some of their big bands and so on. And when he got out of, when the war ended and he got out, he moved to Chicago. So he was born here, like I said, in 1920. He moved to Chicago in the kind of the maybe 46, 47, and he started Universal Recording Corp up in Chicago. And he had four different locations there. And in the late 50s, maybe around 60, he ended up moving and starting two of the bigger independent recording studios in Hollywood. In Chicago, he recorded all the, early blues, all the early records on Chess, early rock and roll, Chuck Berry, but also the big bands, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Stan Kenton, Joe Williams, Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, Etta James, and just on and on. Like, his credits are ridiculous. And he's also credited with, so he was a very, was a studio owner and designer. He also built a lot of the gear, because back then, you had to adapt broadcast electronics and broadcast consoles to recording.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was all coming out of broadcast or telephone, actually. And then, so he started making his own gear, and he realized there was an opportunity to sell that. And so he started a company called Universal Audio, and he was making consoles, and he was making amplifiers and preamplifiers, and he started, by that time he had the studios, he had a career being an engineer and producer, and he had a business making electronic equipment.
Now, the tinkering he did with stuff, did your father know Les Paul?
Oh my gosh, they were absolute best friends, and I grew up knowing Les Paul. In fact, the first time I got to meet him, my parents said, okay, you're going to meet one of Dad's close friends, he's going to say a lot of words that, you probably shouldn't hear or you don't know. And it turns out I knew all the words already. But, I was probably about 10. And, Les Paul broadcast himself. He had a radio station under the name Rhubarb Red. So my dad put these big signs up at our house, Welcome Rhubarb Red. And so they were like two peas in a pod. They were doing a lot of the same thing at the same time. They were both, some of the first people to use tape. Les had the first tape machines used, or actually Bing Crosby had the first tape machines that I think he let Les use. So anyways, a lot of history in there. So my dad was right at that intersection where all that was happening. And in fact, when Les and my dad used to get together, they'd argue about who was the first person to do a vocal overdub. And my dad would say, Les, you beat us to it. And Les would go to my dad, it's like, no, you were first. After my dad passed, I ran into Les at one of the audio engineering conventions. And I'm like, Les, you and my dad used to argue about who was first. And he goes, that's easy, it was me. But I later got to the bottom of it, almost got to the bottom of it. There's some interesting things that still need to be figured out. But my dad recorded Patti Page. He recorded a lot of Patti Page stuff. And they did that was my dad's first vocal overdub. Les, of course, was with Mary Ford and How High the Moon. And I got a Patty Page's nephew, who's kind of the historian for her, got in touch with me and sent me this letter that Les Paul had sent to Patty Page saying, hey, Patty, I got to the bottom of it. You and Bill were first. You actually recorded, and he said, you were in the studio New Year's Eve. He said, you know, Bill was making you work on New Year's Eve, 19, it probably would have been 48, and you guys recorded first. Les and I did it, Mary and I did it in like April or May, but they put the album out because Les was doing it on his own label, so he put the album out immediately. So my dad did the first recording, but Les had the first recording that went to market of the vocal overdub.
Now, Les, of course, played guitar. Was your dad all recording, or did he perform?
He started singing here in Danville, and I don't know in exactly what context, but he sang, and he played piano, and he did surprise me. So he wasn't out performing, but like he'd sit down at the piano, and me and my brother would go like, where did that come from? And he kind of had a jazz. He called it, he played composer's, piano. And I also found out that he wrote a lot of songs. Like, right. I was looking through a Duke Ellington discography, and I'm like, wow, there's a song that Bill Putnam wrote. That was a Duke Ellington song. So he wrote songs. So he was very musical. And in fact, his technical, and he was saying that really is what you need to be a successful engineer is you have to have, it all starts and ends with the music, really. It's just in service to that. I was born in Hollywood. My dad had a studio in Hollywood. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Tarzana. But my dad and I shared radio. And so I heard about all these stories about WDN, his first job. He told me it was this room. He got snowed in. He got snowed into this room, and he was here for a few days, and all he had to eat was liverwurst.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He also told me he was able to take, and this is, it'll be interesting to see how many of these things are true. But, my dad, he didn't embellish that much, but he said he'd take hot dogs on a pole and cook them inside the coils of the final of the transmitter.
That's beautiful.
And then it's funny, my brother just texted me. I took him showed him a picture of the tower, and he goes, I heard a story about Dad climbing that tower. And the story my dad told was that there was a guy who would come, and when the light went out at the top, they'd hire someone. I think they'd get $50 or $25 or whatever it was, which was a big sum of money for my dad. But they'd hired this outside person to climb the tower. And my dad's like, the light went out, and he was like, I want that money. So he climbed the tower, and he said, he's up there, and he sees the station owner driving up, like looking at him. My dad's like waving. He gets down there. Turns out the station owner had been trying to get a hold of someone here, wasn't getting any phone calls returned, and so drove out to see what the hell was going on. My dad's up the tower. My dad thinks he's going to get $25, and he got fired. And then he told me he got hired either like the next day or maybe the next week or whatever. And I wish I knew who that was. But
was he done here then and went to WDWS after that?
I don't know exactly. I think what I kind of remember is he was here. He went to WDWS, and I think he came back here. So I think he maybe, went back and forth. And it was either here or WDWS that he was chief engineer.
Gotcha.
And I'm not sure, which one. I just, all these things I wish I'd have got straight, written down, recorded.
Roll tape.
So much history.